Okay, good morning, Melbourne. Good morning, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners as well. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for Canada and the US, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 200 plus outlets worldwide. Before I get started, sponsors, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think that's all I need to say because you can all feel that. Inspired Radio is all about change, getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo. We're breaking free from limiting systems and limiting lives and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their stories because storytelling is creating our new world. So let me introduce today's guest, Owen Hunt. We're diving into the world of reality transurfing with Owen, who's also known as Bootsy Greenwood. Take a note. A writer, a speaker, and explorer of consciousness, Owen has helped bring the powerful ideas of reality transurfing to a wider audience through his unique blend of insight, humor, and real-world application. We'll be talking about shifting reality, navigating life's alternative spaces, and how to align with the version of you in your life that you truly want. Owen, welcome.
Thank you, Helen. It's an honor to be here. I am ecstatic to chat with you again and really looking forward to this interview. Thank you.
Yeah, me too, me too. So you've been many things. You've been a comedian, you've been a bartender, you've been a tree lopper. Do you reinvent yourself? Is that what you've done in your life?
I just love the term tree lopper. By the way, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. And I suppose so. I think we all molt, we all change and transform as we learn more about ourselves and peel back the layers of the onion that we've kind of like I would say amassed, the
Yeah.
conditioning, the world's ideas of who we should be and our other people's projections and all those things. And the more we peel those layers back, I think the more that we do change and the more we do transform and rebrand ourselves.
Well, let me ask you this question, right? Like through all of those different versions of yourself, what were you looking for?
That's a really good question. I think I was looking for peace, tranquility,
Yeah.
connection, understanding, self-actualization, I guess it would probably be the big word to understand who I really am and what I'm
Yeah.
capable of and here to do.
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Because you said before, like, I guess we're all doing it. We're all reinventing ourselves. Well, that's not actually true because there are a lot of people that just get stuck in like a comfort zone, which is a funny term, isn't it? Because I don't think a comfort zone is really that comfortable.
No, it's not. It gets pretty mundane, actually, if you stay in that comfort zone for any length of time.
Yeah, but there's just like a carrot that's held out in front of some of us, and we're chasing that carrot, like looking for the meaning of life.
I think so. I think that I've been looking for the meaning of life and wanting to share the things that I've picked up along that journey. Not that I would necessarily say that I have the answer for every single person,
Yeah.
but I would absolutely say, yeah, curiosity has what has really brought me along. I'm like, I wonder if, and
Yeah.
then I follow that thread and the ribbon, you just keep pulling on it and pulling on it to
I
see
hear
where
you. I
it
hear
takes me.
you because I think that you and I have had some similarities in our past and the explorations, the paths we've been down, because curiosity got was the draw card for me. I was always, I kind of put it this way, there's dust up on the horizon. Something's going on. I think I'll go and have a look.
Yeah, why not?
But a lot of the time when I was doing it, I would walk into a program. I would walk into a program. So I wrote a book a few years ago, and when I finished writing that book, I realized that all I was writing was I was in this program, I figured out how to exit it, and then I opened up a door to another program, and then I started another program. Yeah. Yeah, that was the best way that I could describe it, is that I just went from one program to another to another to another until I had some sort of realization, like, oh my God, I'm caught up in something and I need to understand what it is.
That's fascinating. I think that's really a brilliant insight. It's like we step into all of these fractals. It's just a labyrinth
A labyrinth, yes.
of levels of exploration.
Yes. And I realize too, the journey has been about self-discovery. For me, the word's been truth. What is the truth? What is the truth, right? And I, looked at over the last 30 years the different personal developments out there, the different books, the different movies, the different everything. And I realized, and it took me a long time to make my way through them, but they didn't tell all the truth. Some of them were deliberate. They'd only give you like a certain percentage and hold back. Some people who were very successful and living wonderful lives thought that they'd figured out how to explain it to you, but I don't think that they'd figured all of it out. So I was always just getting bits and pieces. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. That was my experience too. And
Right.
the closest thing that I found was the book that you mentioned at the beginning of my introduction, which does a very good job of outlining. There's a couple that do, but there are still, even in that book, he makes the statement that you can only get so close to truth that we can't know it absolutely directly.
Yes.
And I think there's something to that. It's kind of frustrating. It's like the thing that you just can't put your finger on, but you can't keep yourself from chasing or exploring or trying to understand. It's kind of like a kitty trying to chase a laser pointer,
Absolutely. Yes, I know exactly. And I'm sure a lot of people listening will absolutely understand that. Chasing, a light around. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I admire everyone who is on that journey. I think a big part of it is realizing, hey, I'm never going to fully understand the truth in that direct way, maybe in this incarnation. Maybe beyond it, we will know it directly. I heard another comedian, Pete Holmes, has a bit where he's talking about like if God is God, like, and we're like in the book, then the author is not in the book. Like Harry Potter is not going to find J.K. Rowling. It's not possible. Like it's something that's beyond. And I think we're all looking for that. We're looking for that connection. I believe we're looking to dissolve into the infinite as we're also part of it here, but we're separate. And part of being separate is one of the things, paradoxically, that we all have in common that we do all share.
Yeah, I agree with you there. My path has revealed that I call us, we're chips off the old block. Right? Whatever that old block is, we're chips of it. Yeah. And I don't really want to try and define it any more than that, because that's just another set of programming, I think.
I think so too. It's almost like the more that we try to consciously, like with our linear logical brain, try to understand everything, the more elusive it becomes. It's something that's beyond or beneath that conscious understanding. That's where I think the connection really is, and where we can settle in and start to understand ourselves at a deeper level. That's where the essence lies.
That's a good way of explaining it. That really is. And over the last 30 years, I've realized too that what we used to think was a truth or a way of understanding how we operate, our minds and bodies, it's evolving. It continually evolves. So even the concept of chakras and energy centers, there's new, insight into how to look at those. It's not about them being colors and making them brighter and cleaner. It's actually about returning them to consciousness, which is clear, pure light. So everything that I learned 30 years ago has been reinvented many times, but I think that's a good thing.
I think so too. I think there's a constant moving, shifting. Nothing's ever really static. Everything's constantly in flux. And somehow we're all held together, but we're also moving. So it's a pretty interesting idea to think about, the author of The Reality Transfer would say that balance is the primary universal law, the fundamental law of the universe is balance. And it's never actually attained. Like the equilibrium is never static or at really at rest. And we can see fall, spring, summer, winter. Everything's constantly changing, but it's constantly striving toward that balance, but it never rests there. It's always, moving toward
Moving.
that, but never really settling there.
Absolutely. So let's just, because we haven't actually named him yet, Reality Transurfing is written by.
Vadim Zeeland, I
Thank you.
believe is how you pronounce his name. It might be Zeeland, I honestly, as funny as that is, for 10 years, I found that book in 2016, and I would have called myself a seeker, and I've dropped that as a title because if you call yourself a seeker, that implies that you won't find.
A program.
And right. So I've kind of dropped that. I'm in a new program now. And I'm exploring, and that book particularly, it just seemed to bring together so many of the ideas that I found in other books in a really clear and cohesive way. Another one that I would recommend if people are looking for more of a comprehensive guide or model to reality and how it works is My Big Toe, or it stands for My Big Theory of Everything by Thomas Campbell. That's another really good book. It's written differently, but it does a really good job of explaining the principles, the probabilities, the possibilities, and how we find ourselves in the reality that we do.
Thank you for sharing that, because I really want people, I think people listening to this are the explorers and the investigators just like us, and that will give them something to focus on, to look at. But I agree with you, when I found Reality Transurfing, it turned on light bulbs for me. It put a lot of things that I had, the bits and pieces that I had discovered, it put them all into a sequence of sense. It made sense. The quantum world is at the best explanation of what we're living in.
I think so too. Yes, it absolutely sh changed the way that I saw the world. It shifted the game for me. And as seemingly complicated as some of the ideas are, I don't think they're that difficult to use and apply and really implement into our life. The first thing that really blew my mind was that this idea of the quantum world is the same as the dream world, is the same as the world of ideas, or the mind of God, or the Akashic records, or infinity, or eternity, right? Like these are all relatively synonymous. We could nitpick some things, but it's like, look, everything that ever was, is, or will be, is in the world of ideas. And then we live here in the world of material, third dimension, material reality, this dense matter world. And just like many other books that came before Reality Transurfing would say, consciousness is primary, is the theory. Like everything starts as an idea. The universe is mental. The all is mind. It all begins with a thought. We don't build a sandcastle, then have the idea that we should build a sandcastle. We think, I want to build a sandcastle, then we build the sandcastle. And that is the idea of materialization, that whatever it is that we want to bring into the world already exists in what Vadim calls the space of variations, or the infinite world, Akashic records, however we want to quantify that. But that is synonymous with the dream world. That was a huge light bulb moment for me.
I hear you. I call it the material world. It has a 24-hour delay on it. That's just my kind of way of putting it in a nutshell. It's like, so whatever you were doing yesterday, 24 hours ago, it's turning up now. Now. So the outside world is just a reflection of what's been going on the inside.
That's very well put, right? That is another concept that he puts forth in that book, is that we're basically standing on the edge of a dual mirror and bringing in to this reality from that other one, whatever we project into that mirror over time.
And have you started to figure out, like, what happens when we figure out the mechanics of life, right? When we start to actually realize, like, at one point I started realizing I had 7-year cycles in my life, and I started joining the dots together of my past, and it was actually showing me it was always heading me in the direction that I am right now, right? Insight. I suppose that's insight. Have you found that the more you learn the mechanics of how this world works, the clearer you get on your past and your future?
I think so. I think there's also some complications that can come in there because the mind is so good at what it does, at looking for patterns and really
Yes. Yeah.
wanting certainty. The mind really wants certainty. So if we let it take the lead, if we let it have control and have charge, then we wind up kind of, I would say, like we box ourselves in, we put limits on things, we don't see opportunities that are very close to us. Whereas when we open up the mind and it becomes our co-pilot,
Yes.
then the heart can really lead. It can move in its direction and go in the path that it wants to go, and the mind can come along as an amazing tool. It's an incredible pattern recognition device. Not
Yes.
trying to throw shade on the mind. Love the mind. Big fan.
Yes, I
Love it a
hear you.
lot.
I hear you because you know damn well that that mental energy is listening right now, right? Yeah, and you're doing the same as me. It's like you have to stroke it every now and then and go, it's okay, it's okay. I'm not going to kill you off, right? I just want you to sit in the passenger seat instead of the driver's seat.
Absolutely, because the heart is what's connected to that space of infinity. The heart is what is going out into the dream world and seeing all these crazy creatures that we can't have never seen in real life, and we're like, what is that, right? Like, and somebody has six noses and we're like, what? That doesn't happen in reality, right? And the heart is there connected to the infinite world, the world of eternity, the space of variations, Akashic records. And the mind is very much has hit its awareness in the physical world. It's really good at logistics. It's really good at understanding patterns. It's really good at figuring out strategies and doing those types of things. So together, they're the ultimate team up, the masculine mind and the feminine heart. And that feminine heart is living in the space of variations in infinity, and the mind is really grounded here in the material reality. So that's kind of how it's worked. So when we balance, and of course it's going to ebb and flow,
They
but when
all
we're in balance and when we are aligned between those two parts of ourselves, that's when we really can do our best work,
will.
access our genius, and do things that we didn't even know that we were ever capable of.
Yes, and you've had those experiences because you're talking from experience, aren't you?
I am. I mean, if I were to go back to 10 years ago when I first discovered the book, I was a bartender. I had really no direction in life. I was a creative person. I had, some skills and talents and things, but I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't have any real motivation. I didn't feel inspired. I was just kind of stuck living a very monotonous and boring day-to-day Groundhog Day. And when I found the book, it woke that part of me up and helped me to realize, oh my God, like I don't have to live an unfulfilled life. I can live an inspired and a successful life. And since that time, I have done some pretty cool things that I didn't think I would ever be able to do. So yes, I think I'm just getting started. And somebody might be like, well, why haven't you like levitated, or like, why haven't you done X, Y, or Z? And it's like, okay, look, dude, I get it, right? Like, I feel like I'm just getting started. But like, in comparison to where I was 10 years ago, my growth has been exponential. It's not even calculable, really. And I've found that to be true with a lot of my friends, with my clients, with people in my life who have also found this model and begin to apply it.
I just wrote down you outgrew yourself, right? You outgrew
Absolutely.
yourself. Yep. There are different versions of us, aren't there?
Oh, I'm not even the same person as I was last year. Not even the same person.
And that's why I try to explain people when I say, are you the same person you were when you were 10 years old? No, well, when we're 10 years old, we're starting high school or we're getting into that. And we actually talk ourselves and think ourselves and rehearse ourselves into being who we're going to be when we leave high school. And that's another version. But at some point, I think along the way, we stop creating it. We stop focusing on it. And that's what it sounds like with you in the bar, right? We become at the mercy of life instead of choosing and creating what it is we want.
Yeah, that's the operative word there. It's choosing. It's choosing. You know, people talk a lot about manifestation. I think that's technically accurate. I like to use the word materialization instead, just because it's a little bit of a differentiator, and it implies it has a different connotation to it. And so the idea is to choose, to learn to consciously choose, and that is opening up to possibility and finding a way to allow the heart to lead and use the mind to take action using those feminine and masculine principles as we move forward as in the movement of the flow and see opportunities and potentials and be able to actualize those, be able to materialize those as we move along.
So, how did you control your mind, Owen?
Lots of practice. And I still have a lot of work to do too. And I would say that, you know, in large part, I don't think we really control the thoughts. I think we can direct them is more of an accurate way, or at least the way that I experience it. I remember reading Eckhart Tolle, maybe in 2013 or 2014, The Power of Now, and A New Earth too, but The Power of Now. And that was the first time that I ever noticed a space between my thoughts, or was able to let the internal dialogue lag for a second. And that was a huge moment for me. It really shifted my awareness and what I thought was possible.
That's a nice way of explaining it because I want to, you know, I know that people that are listening in, I mean, you and I both remember what it was like to have a mind that was just talking nonstop. It was critical, it was judgmental, it had opinions about me and you and everybody else, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. I remember fighting it and arguing with it and also making friends with it. I tried all sorts of different strategies until I realized that it's not me. It's just not me. So many things that we've been told in our lives are programs and they're lies.
They really are. And that is really the beginning, I think, to begin to separate yourself from the thoughts. We think we are the thoughts, but the thoughts, they just happen. And I still get them. I still get the thoughts that come like that. And that's fortunately, I've built enough awareness, and for the most part, I'm aware enough, right? Like, I still fall asleep too. Like, no one's perfect, but I've built enough tolerance and practice of that to basically be able to identify it and notice it when it comes. Like, when I'm sitting at dinner and someone's jaw is clicking or they're smacking their food, and I just want to be like, like, why are you masticating so loudly? Which is hilarious. Just the word masticating is funny, but. But like, I hear those thoughts and I feel those feelings, and I'm like, okay, I feel and experience, I'm experiencing this in a way. And also I know that that's also not me. I have enough control. There's some space between the stimulus and the response.
Space. And paying attention, awareness. You're absolutely right. So we're not the thoughts, right? We're not the mind. I mean, even up till now, science is, it's still a concept. It's still a concept, all of that, right? People have to realize that it's not proven or anything else. So if we're not the mind, who are we?
It's a good
Or
question.
what are we? What is it that you think is listening and operating?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I'm not sure that anyone really knows the truth, like that we can only get so close to that answer. And I think who we are is how we define ourselves. Whatever you think your identity is how you're going to act in this world. So whatever that concept of self is for you, then that is what you're going to project and put forward. Now, is that who you really are? I don't think so. I would say that we are infinite creations. We are a part of infinity. And because of that, we're truly, truly limitless. Now, I think in this carnation, we have a personality, we have the shape of our soul. I don't think we come into the world as a blank slate. I think that heart has a personality. When you see a baby, some babies are loud and boisterous, some babies are quiet and calm. You know, they all have these more natural personalities when they come in. And then the mind, though, I would argue, is a blank slate. It can learn any language, it can conform to any customs or manners within the society. And so we've got this development that's happening in the mind where it needs to conform to these structures that we are a part of in order to be okay and be safe. And then we've got this heart that's like, hey, I'm in this amazing earth experience for only so long, and I want to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm really excited about it. And that's what I want to do. And sometimes when we let the mind lead, it will shove the heart down and repress those longings, and we wind up becoming kind of a shell or husk of ourselves, or we wind up working in a bar and not knowing what we want and just being lost and misdirected and misguided and not really understanding who we really are.
So we're a presence. We come into this world, we're a presence of some sort, right? So we're present here. And like you said, you bring some, that presence embodies something, different things for different people. That's the uniqueness, isn't it? And then we're taught to create the mind. I call the mind a hard drive of a computer, and it remembers everything it's heard, everything it's watched, everything it's read, everything going on. It's a beautiful hard drive full of information, full of information. But that's its limit, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. And when we change the operating system in that mind, then it starts to react and interact with the world differently and with ourselves. We start to see that we're possible of much more and that there are other gifts and talents that we maybe have can develop and express. And then the heart starts to really become more and more engaged in this life. And I think that's what fulfillment is. And self-actualization and really feeling like we're on our purpose and doing the thing in life that we came to do and be.
I wrote a little ism years ago that I said, I won't do anything unless my heart and mind are in it together. I started to recognize that if they were working separately, then I had different outcomes, different things were going on around me. So I just, if I'm in two minds, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Wait, push life away, push opportunities away. And it sounds very counterintuitive because everybody's been taught to, grab everything that's coming at you and, wrestle with it and move it and change it and reposition it and whatnot. For me, it was push it away because, it'll come back. It'll come back. Everything's flowing, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's different approaches to this. I like that a lot to stay open and not just take the first thing that comes, right? Like, but to really
Play with it.
align.
Play
Yeah,
with
play with it and
it.
align, be knowing like, oh yeah, this feels right. This feels right. And my mind is like excited to put the puzzle together. And when that happens, that's when you know it is right for you. You know, it's both of them at the same time. The mind's like, ooh, fun. We get to figure out this road trip or whatever it is. And the heart's like, I can't wait to get out on the road and go see all these beautiful places, right? Like that's an amazing alignment. And yeah, and that's I think a key indicator that we
That's
are
a
on that
great
path.
way of explaining it, right? Because now you're talking about the mind has a job, and I find it does get happy and it gets excited when you say, work this out. Go work this out, right? Go figure that out. But, I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to enjoy things. This again, though, right? Like all the programming we have out there tells us that life's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be tough. I've even discovered, and I'm going to put that out there right now, thinking that we're here for pain and suffering, and that pain and suffering teaches us and it's part of growth, is about the biggest lie I've ever heard. Because what if it's just a program?
Yeah, it's an interesting take. I think it is a motivator, right? Like if you have people who, let's say, have an addiction, you know, sometimes they have to hit rock bottom and things like that, and so they do experience some pain, and that is often a catalyst for change. I don't think it has to be, to your point. I think that it doesn't have to be. We just need to take initiative and anticipate the change, or be proactive in our growth as opposed to waiting for the pain to happen. If I would have known it was possible to move in that direction beforehand, before 2016, then that's exactly what I would have done. And I was even maybe trying and spinning my wheels in the mud a little bit even before that, like, ah, I don't know, I don't know. But once I figured that out, then I can move. And I believe that's what I'm doing now, is like moving before I'm prompted with pain.
Absolutely. And that's what I started to discover. As you start to remove yourself from the programs or recognize them, it's a bit like in the Matrix. Do you remember that bit when they're in the ship and they come out of the out through the clouds, above the clouds, and all of a sudden there's this moment of sunshine, you know? And I think that when you're navigating the programs and you're really tuning into your heart, you have moments of insight. And that was one of my moments, was like, oh my gosh, pain and suffering is made up, and it's also made up and taught to us to be a motivator and a tool. And you know, if you're in one of those programs, it's really, really difficult, right? But I was a drug addict. I was a drug addict, and I stopped. I switched from one version of myself to a new version of myself overnight. I stopped drugs, I had no withdrawals, and I started planning my escape route, my new life. And that thing, that event, has been the one thing that's always, it happened decades ago, but I'm like, how did that happen? How did that happen? Which led me to having a conversation with you right now and everything I've done up till then to realize that. You talk to people about the central nervous system and about adjusting out. So leading up to the day I stopped drugs, I was rehearsing my escape. I was saying, if I leave, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to live here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So little moments of rehearsing and adjusting and rehearsing and adjusting to then one mammoth event that happened on the day that I was about to stop. It took somebody putting their hands around my throat to kill me. And in that moment, I said in my mind, I'll do whatever it takes. And at that moment, mind, body, spirit were in complete alignment and something shifted. And the next morning, I woke up with no doubt, no fear, and no drug addiction. And all my life, I've been trying to figure that out. And I have. Now I have. Reality transurfing was a key part in understanding how I made that shift.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's amazing to hear. Yeah, the concepts in there completely changed the way that I saw the world entirely. Even just the first three chapters. Like, you just read the first three chapters. You don't have to necessarily read the whole book. You just read the first three chapters and tell me that if you don't implement those first three principles, then your life's not going to change drastically.
Absolutely. And look, I was always looking back at that event and going, I'm not exceptional. I am not exceptional. I am just the same as everybody else. But how did I do it? How did I do it? And I was patient enough to wait decades to get the bits and pieces and to get the answer. And if that doesn't inspire people to go, you know what, you can actually shift out of your current version and you can choose a new version of yourself, just start rehearsing it now.
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea of rehearsal. That's really, really cool. Yeah, one of the concepts is to be the participant and the observer in the play, right? So we're on stage and we're also witnessing ourselves on stage. We're the writer, director, and producer of what it is, or actor of whatever it is that we're experiencing. And I love that idea of rehearsal. That's really good, because that is putting our entire system in a position to experience that which we would like to experience. Once that feels comfortable and natural to us, then it becomes pretty easy to choose that experience for ourselves once we
Yeah.
feel it.
So tell me, like you'd have spoken, I've heard you speak about the central nervous system. That's the part that sabotages us. Can you just explain for people, like, you know, because everybody knows what it's like to try and go achieve something and then find yourself right back where you started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, our nervous system and our brain is work. It's working together to keep us safe. So one thing that really helps me understand the mind and going through these processes of change is to put things through a lens of like maybe I don't know if prehistoric is the right word, but tribal society. If we go back in time, a few thousand years. To where we're tribal human beings. And so our nervous system wants to keep us safe, and we are herd animals ultimately. So we're part of a tribe of about 100, you know, if we go back far enough. And so everyone kind of has their duty, everyone has their place within that tribe. And if you were to threaten the tribal leader, well, you could be in a lot of trouble, and then you could get excommunicated from the tribe. That means now you got to fend for yourself. You got bears, wolves, tigers. Oh my, all of the above.
Not to mention a hell of a lot of worry and anxiety.
That's right. And then you got to find your own food, and you have no, you know, no shelter and all these things, right? So we have evolved as in a group, as creatures that are in a herd, in a group, in a tribe. And so what our nervous system wants to do, it's programmed to keep us safe. So whenever we challenge the current level that we're at, or the lifeline that we're on, or the story that we're telling, or the identity that we believe we have, our nervous system is going, "Oh, wait a second. Hold on just a minute." And the brain is like, "Well, you need to give me proof. I can't take this on faith, right? Like, you've got to show me, you've got to prove to me that this is okay." And you know, we're also trained to identify the negative things. We can see those negative things in our environment so much more quickly than we can.
Immediately.
Right. Because we're, you know, we don't want, we we're, we want to perceive the threats
Well, it's
so
the
that we stay.
warning system, isn't it? It's the warning system. Alert, alert, look out.
Exactly. And so those things jump into our reality so much more quickly. Now we can shift that. And if we start to work with our system, there was a man named Bob Proctor, probably a lot of people know him, who was amazing. And he talked about what he called the terror barrier. And what he would say is that when our nervous system is being challenged and we're going into a higher pressure situation and we're evolving and growing, then what will happen is the nervous system will tense up and clench and get tighter and nervous, you know, nervous system. But if we can approach that situation with the positive attitude and knowing that we're going through growth, then we can actually level up. And what happens with most people is we get into that situation, we feel uncomfortable, and then we don't push through that threshold and we stay
Retreat.
stuck. Exactly. So it's just a never-ending cycle where we're doing the same thing over and over again. That's insanity, right? Like doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So we've got to find a way to move through that threshold. And if we can approach it with a positive attitude, knowing that we are growing, then we can actually level up and jump timelines or move into another reality or shift our identity. But it takes a conscious movement and a positive outlook as we're going into something that scares the crap out of us, you
Yeah,
know?
thank you. That's a good way of explaining it. Thank you. Everybody knows what that's all about. And you do too. Can we just talk about, like, this is behavior you're talking about? So, you know, the old version of us behaved in a certain way and had a certain attitude, but we're stepping into a new version of ourselves. So we've got to rehearse that behavior as well, don't we? So tell everybody about what just happened to you with your film that you did of your recent talk,
Oh,
because
yeah.
that's behavior, right? I want them to hear the shift in behavior.
Sure. So, you know, I didn't know for many years that the way that I responded or reacted to the things that happened to me would ultimately have any effect. I didn't know. I would just potentially spiral and get more upset and more upset, and then things would just get worse and worse. And what I've learned is that whenever we can take things in stride and not lose our minds, it's not that it's not okay to be a little upset or have or grieve the loss of something or someone. Like, of course, that's totally fine. That's being human.
Yeah.
But whenever we learn to move through those frustrations with a better attitude and just allow things to be as they are instead of fighting against reality, well, very often new things open up. We get better opportunities, and there are advantages as we move through that discomfort.
Actually, what you're just saying there is, so somebody gets upset about something, right? You get upset, you punch the air and do whatever it is you need to do. But most people will then go and they'll tell a friend, and then they'll tell another friend, and then the next day they wake up and they're still going, "Oh, what happened to me yesterday?" So that's behavior, and that's not good.
It's constriction too, right? Like we just get tighter and tighter and tighter and try to control and control and control and control more. And if we really want to open up to what is possible for us and find our potential, that comes through letting go. It comes through release, not control. Control will end you on an island that it will be unnamed that lots of people have gone on a plane to. That's the end point of control, is going down that rabbit hole. You know what I'm saying? But now letting go, that is where the mystics have really found enlightenment and been able to do miracles and amazing things. And so I recently did a talk at Confluence in Texas, which is an amazing festival. And it was the biggest talk I've done. I was so excited about it.
You were
I was just,
leveling up, Owen. You were leveling up.
absolutely I was, and still am. from that, it was an amazing opportunity, and just an amazing group of people. I met tons of folks. I got to connect with a lot of people, and it was awesome. But I was really excited to be able to
Well,
post the talk.
can I just, sorry, ask one question? Catherine Austin Fitz, did you meet her?
Oh, she was amazing. She was amazing. I watched
Oh,
her talk. Yeah, she
I'm
was amazing.
jealous. I'm jealous.
She was very positive too. I was really excited, and I loved her take on things and how we're
Absolutely.
moving forward.
Sorry,
It was
that
really
was just a
no,
little
that's okay.
interruption.
Oh
Continue
yeah,
the story.
there were so
Continue.
many. I was fanboying out the whole time. It was awesome.
Good.
But yeah, for some reason I got it had been a while, and I have everything on my SD cards. I have my SD cards literally right here, and I came home and I was gonna upload it so that I could start editing and send things over
So
to
you
my editor.
filmed your
Film my
presentation.
speech,
Yes.
my chat, whatever, conversation, workshop, whatever you want to call it. And for some reason, it is not on this SD card. So this morning, I was like, oh man, like, of course I was disappointed, you know, of course I was a little bit frustrated. Now, an older version of me would have been like, well, whose fault is this? Somebody XYZ, I would start blaming people. Then I would beat myself up. And then my whole day would get ruined. And then, you know, like all these things would just begin to
Spiral.
happen. Absolutely, I would spiral down. And but I realized, hey, look, getting mad about this and like upset and making a bit, you know, where does that lead? I mean, like, not anywhere good. And the footage doesn't come back.
Constriction, like you said,
Right.
constriction.
Exactly. It's just tightness and control, and exactly right, just constriction. And so that doesn't do anything. It doesn't won't bring the footage back. So I was like, okay. I mean, can I just accept this? Can I just let it go that I don't have this footage and I'm not going to be able to put this out as a YouTube video or whatever? Cool. Yeah, I can do that. And then it allowed me the opportunity to share the experience and connect with people who, and there's some amazing comments in the school group too, underneath that post
I
of
had a
people
look
who
at
have had amazing things happen. So who knows what comes of that, right? Like once we get on the other side of that and we just let go and we say, okay, well, it is what it is. I accept it for what it is. Maybe I get another opportunity. Maybe there's something else that comes about from that. I mean, I already have a talk actually in Austin that very likely came off of the Confluence one. And there's probably going to be like 100 people there in person live that I'm doing a workshop there in Austin, Texas. So that's incredible. And I'm extremely happy for that. So I don't know what else will come of this necessarily. But the fact that I have changed into the type of person who's like, okay, I lost the footage. okay, bummer, you know, like that's too bad, but okay, fine. I'll make another video. I'll do another talk. I'll just continue to move in the same direction. It's not going to stop me. I'm not going to let it ruin my day. I'm not going to get upset with people or
That
blame anyone.
wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Like, are you just giving yourself a hug and a pat on the back? And I mean, it's palatable when you recognize the incredible change that you've made within yourself. Yeah.
It is. It is. Self-compassion is really, really powerful.
Yes.
And I encourage people to just Google that or watch some videos. It will make a huge difference. And when we don't react, when we allow things to be as they are, it gives us so much more power and the ability to be more proactive.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
again that
And
space between stimulus and response is widening.
we're still then connected with consciousness or the Akashic or whatever the field is. You talked about being constricted if you start to get angry and upset and you start all that sort of old behavior, but you chose to behave in an open way, and that opens you to a million possibilities of what can happen. Because even as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, I wonder if somebody in the audience recorded it. I mean, there's so many different ideas of how to look at something.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had fun. I connected with amazing people. Like, that's the gift, you know, to be able to put it out on YouTube. That's great. You know, I already have several videos and workshops and things on my channel. So, you know, this was a big one for me. And of course, the one that I made the most important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I recognized this years ago. I had moments in my life where I would be about to declare something, but something in me would stop me. And I didn't even realize it was this whole thing about importance, right? I knew that if I declared something, I was going to place some sort of importance on it. I just didn't realize many times. But please explain for people importance, because jeepers, it's important to know.
It is, ironically, huh? Sure. So, you know, I'd always heard of detachment in Eastern religion, right?
Yes.
Like detachment and attachment and being attached to things. And to me, it never really landed for me because there's certain things I want to be attached to. I don't think I need to detach. It seems cold, it seems frigid, it seems reptilian to
Yeah.
just detach from everything in the material world. And I never really jived with that as a perspective. But what Vadim talks about, and he kind of reframes this idea, is that everything that you put a bunch of importance on, it becomes more difficult to reach. It's like if you sit around and fantasize about something, then you make it a big deal. If you think about your performance and you just obsess about it constantly, then it gives you so many more nerves before you go on. It makes you so much more tense. It just creates a bunch of what he would call excess potential. And
Yes.
importance creates excess potential. Now it's even harder to do the thing that you initially wanted to do. And one of the ways that he illustrates his point is put a 2x4 on the ground and walk across it. Okay, now put a 2x4 across two skyscrapers that are 1,500 feet in the air and walk
Yes.
across that.
Yes. I
The act
love
is the
that.
same. It's the same. And
I love
if we're,
that.
you know, we're dancing on a 2x4 on the ground and no
Yes.
one even cares. It's just 2 inches off the ground, so who cares? But the
Absolutely.
same exact 2x4, it's the same exact,
Yes.
you know, set of skills to walk across it. But now all of a sudden it's a big deal. And
Yes.
so the idea of importance is really affecting us in a profound way. And once I realized that, it definitely helped me to understand and reframe and to calm down and to let go a lot more. So that's a great way to think about it instead of attachment, because we can reduce importance. We don't have to like sever attachment and just cut everything off. Like that seems so extreme. And I don't know, maybe there's something with the translation or something like that, because
Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But when I heard it shared that way, it really landed for me and it helped me to put
Yeah.
myself in it. to
Yeah,
say.
it's language. It's starting to find the language. Detachment to me, when I first started experiencing it, I had to question myself and ask if I was a cold-hearted bitch, right? Because, it's like I just started to feel a space between me and someone's story or someone's, what was going on for them. But what I really now see it as, detachment is just allowing things to flow. It gives space. It just gives space. It's just a word for that space. You're still an emotional, compassionate human being, but you're just allowing everybody else to have their story and their movement and life to have its movement. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it opens up, and I think space is great, right? Like it's that idea between stimulus and response, and anything that we're really sticky to, we're just entangled with. And then that
Yes.
entanglement, it just makes it frustrating and it makes us tighten up and clench.
Actually, it
And
makes a barrier, doesn't it? Because you said Vadim's like example of the plank of wood, right? Life takes the path of least resistance, and when you've got the plank on the floor, you don't get anxious, you don't get worried, you don't overthink. But when it becomes up in the air, you become the resistance.
yep, that's
And
exactly right.
life will it'll either knock you right off that piece of wood, or it'll go past you.
Yeah, it'll push you back to not going across, or it'll push you over the edge.
Off.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, yeah, that's a really good way to put it, that you do become the resistance.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. That's right, because nature does follow the path of least resistance. Water flows downhill every single time. It finds the most efficient path. And we can do that too when
Yes.
we
Yes.
learn that we are following the same rules and laws as nature herself.
Good point. That was an excellent little segue there. Yeah, that's reality transurfing in a nutshell. Huh?
It is. And I mean, there's so many concepts in there, but again, like
Yes.
I think that the application itself, it doesn't need to be so much in our head. It's something that we want to live and experience more so than understand and
Yep.
capitulate and or pontificate or just like
Yeah.
speak about or calculate. It's more fun to do it than it is to talk about it.
Yeah, because talking is limited. It is limited. But, I know also that as we're having this conversation, we're lighting up and triggering things for people that are listening. That's what conversations are all about, right? They just get you to, I don't know, have a light bulb moment or consider something and look at it a little differently. I just know that we are all predominantly energy, and energy is just sparking energy, right?
Oh, absolutely. And having a conversation and sharing our experiences, that's just going to help other people to apply and be like, oh, well, it worked for them. Like back to the idea of being a herd mentality, right? Like if you see somebody falls off a cliff and they don't fly, then guess what? You don't go off the cliff.
Don't do
Okay. And so
that.
the same thing can be leveraged in a positive way too, where you see people who are successful, you see people who are using these principles, talking about these things and leveling themselves up. Well, the same thing is possible for you. So
Yeah.
the fact that we're having this conversation and sharing our experience, that's like part of the hero's journey. My point is that I want people to go out there and play with the stuff and actually experience it, and then we can debrief and talk about it, and that's part of the whole experience is to apply it and then share.
Yes. We're here to experience life itself, right? And we're in this mind and body, so we learn how that operates. We learn how the world on a quantum level operates and start having some fun with it.
Why not? Why not have some fun?
Yes. So, how do you recognize a program, Owen?
That's something that I think takes just some conscious awareness. For me, it's something that where I focus on sensations in my body and I start to see a recurrence of a pattern. So a program might show itself in tension in the chest, or a certain loop of thoughts, or a certain reaction. And that is how I would begin to pull that back and see that it is, in fact, a program and not necessarily myself. You know, what are we? We are this infinite creation mixed with biological drives and an ego who has a concept. And so, what are those concepts that we believe that we are? What are those drives? And how can we start to pull those things apart a little bit so that we can see our real true essence? And then we can bring the whole system back together too, and choose and allow our personality and our true essence to come forward. And that's going to be something that is explored deeply. But as we let go of those reactions, those triggers, anything that's triggering us is a program. So that's how I would recognize it in a word. It's a trigger.
And I loved something that you said there from our true nature. You could even turn it the other way around and go, well, what is my true nature? And then catch yourself anytime you're not aligning with that and you're not behaving that way, then you could say, is there a program around? Yeah, so looking at it from either angle. But when I realized, I'm trying to think of the name of the Irish comedian. What's his name?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I don't know either. I'm not going to remember his name then, but I remembered him saying he was just so funny. He was talking about, if we could actually see all the technology, all the invisible Wi-Fi and connections and all the rest of it. And he started off with farts of all things. What if they were color
Oops.
and they were color and you could see them? So what about if all the thoughts between each other and everything else? What if it was all color and you could see it? Well, what if the programs were? If people could see, you are completely surrounded at all moments in time by a whole bunch of programs, which Vadim calls pendulums, other people call egregores. There's all sorts of names for them, but boy, they're real.
Absolutely, they are. Yeah, we see the expression of those, but we don't see them directly. But if you look at a crowd and the way that a crowd acts, or if you go to a football match or whatever, you see how people will do things that are outside of their actual own character on behalf of these programs, on behalf of these pendulums, egregores, whatever the language is. But you can see the expression of it, not so much the thing itself. And once we start to create some space between ourselves and those programs, it becomes much easier to understand ourselves and to pull back those layers of conditioning and to really allow that essence to shine forward.
Oh my gosh, my gosh. 30 seconds to go. I cannot believe it. It's like I have lots of other things to talk about. Oh, well, another time, another time.
I'd
So,
love to.
Owen, I'm going to put the link to Reality Transfer, well, to the school, your school. So, can you just tell people a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, I have a school group. It's the Transurfing School. And if you want to look me up and find it, it's pretty easy to just type in Bootsy Greenwood. I had to use my screen name, stage name, because of SEO complications with my actual birth name. And so that's why I go by Bootsy Greenwood. But if anyone just Googles that, that's my handle on all social media platforms. It's my website, all that stuff. It's Bootsy Greenwood, bootsygreenwood.com.
I'll put the
Yeah.
link and I'll put the link to your YouTube page as well. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Because
Thank you.
I'm recommending to everybody out there, get into the school, get doing some work on this because we are now in a quantum world and this stuff actually helps you make sense of the whole thing.
It really does. I try to take the concepts and make them as simple as possible, and I'm really pleased and proud to be able to share the information. So it's an honor, and I enjoy it, and I want people to come and check it out. I hope that they will. And the school group it's awesome. We do workshops in there and all kinds of fun stuff. So please check it out.
Yes. Step into the new version of yourself. Absolutely.
Yes, let's go. I want to see you do your thing. Let's see you
Oh.
shine your essence light and accomplish a
Absolutely.
purpose.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much, Owen. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay.